So let's pray together. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, tell us what we need to hear. Lord, we're so thankful for your Holy Spirit, which teaches us and shows us how we ought to live, reminds us, Father, when we are right, when we do well, and when we do wrong. We thank you, Father, for who you are and who you show us to be, that we need to be mindful of you, to remember that we need you in our life every day. And so we thank you, Father, for your word this morning. We ask for your presence through and in it. We thank you that we are in you and that you are in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scripture reading is Luke 4, verses 1 through 13, New Revised Standard Version I'm reading. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days. And when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their power and glory and all authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of a temple, saying to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him again and said, "It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished testing him, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So when I was a kid, there was a series of books, actually they're still around. There was a series of books called the Choose Your Own Adventure books. Does anybody remember those books? Yeah, I got a hearty yes. All right, yeah, right. They're still around. Actually, there's even a board game version of these books you can find. So they're still around. They're still popular apparently. Now these books, I brought one here. I snagged it off of Ezra's bookshelf because he has a couple of them. These books, they were all sorts of and types of stories. They were adventure stories, science fiction stories, mystery stories, all those good stories that can capture the imagination of a young boy or girl. And I loved these books. In fact, don't judge me here, but one of my most distinct memories of these books, I read them all the time, but I have very distinct memories of these books being my go-to option to bring to church so that I would have something to read instead of listening to the sermon. So I guess you kids out there that like to do that during church as well, bring a book to read, I did that too, and look what happened to me, right? So now I'm the one up here giving the sermon, so consider yourself warned. Right. So anyway, back to the Choose Your Own Adventure books. The way they work is they were written from the first person perspective, so they invited you, the reader, into the story as the main character. And throughout the story, you, the main character, you would come to a decision that you had to make, and there would be a note in the book. Here's one. You'd come to a point in the story, and here it says, "If you agree to take the journey, turn to page 51. But if you decide that you are not prepared to change your life forever," right? How's that for a choice? "If you decide that you are not prepared to change your life forever, turn to page 63, right? And so then whatever choice you made, after a few more pages, you'd come to another decision, and then another. And so there were any number of ways that the story could be told, and any number of ways that the adventure could go or end. Some of the endings were good and happy endings, and some were not so much. And so, of course, what you would do, or at least, I don't know what you would do, but at any rate, what I would do, what I did, was that if suddenly my story started to not go how I wanted, if I realized, uh-oh, I really shouldn't have opened that door, I would go back, and I would make a different choice. And if that still didn't work out the way I wanted or hoped, I would go back even further to an earlier choice in the story to make a different choice, to try to get to a better ending. I think that what I liked about these stories was that first, they gave you some control over the story being told. But also, they gave you a chance to go back and have a do-over, a chance to retell the story and have it turn out differently if you didn't like how it was turning out. Wouldn't it be great if life worked that way? Right? If there were places in the story of your life where you could say, well, that choice did not work out, and then actually go back and make a completely different choice. Have you ever wanted a chance to retell your story? When we get to our passage this morning, Jesus has just been baptized. If you remember from last week, heaven has just opened up. The Holy Spirit has descended on him like a dove. A voice from heaven has just declared to him, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And then Luke has paused after that scene to give us Jesus' genealogy, which ends with the phrase, "Son of Adam, Son of God." And so now Jesus, Son of Adam, Son of God, the very beloved of the Father, filled of the Holy Spirit, is now led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days. 40 units of time spent in the wilderness. Is anyone here thinking, wait, this sounds a little familiar? 40 units of time being tempted in the wilderness. Is that a story that rings a bell? See, right, Moses, generations ago, centuries ago, long before God's people were under the rule of the Romans as they were in the time of Jesus, long before their kingdom was overrun by other kingdoms, long before they were even a kingdom to be overrun by other kingdoms, they were a people in bondage in Egypt. And they were a people delivered from this bondage by the very work of God, delivered because they were God's people, but even more so, delivered so that they would be a people, a nation, serving as a light to all the other nations, delivered so that they would be a people to bear witness to the goodness and the care and the purpose of God, a people to bear witness in the midst of a world so fascinated with lesser gods and powers, a people to bear witness to the one who is truly the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who is truly worthy of worship because of his goodness. Delivered from Egypt and into where? The wilderness for 40 years. This people called and claimed by God, the people that the Lord had said, "These are my people." And even at times, God had called these people, he called them my child and even my son. Right? In Exodus, for example, God tells Moses to go, when he goes to Pharaoh, to say, "Israel is my firstborn son." And so Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, these early books of Scripture telling this story. And then Deuteronomy, that final culminating book in those first five books of the Bible, Deuteronomy itself is a second telling, a summary, a recounting of that story, given at the end of those 40 years in the wilderness, as the people, as they stand on the cusp of the promised land, and Moses recounts to them their story. though in some ways not their story, because the people standing on the edge, about to enter the promised land, they are not the ones that were liberated from Egypt. They are the sons and daughters of those that were delivered from Egypt. That first generation of wilderness wanderers has died and given way to this new generation. And yet, as Moses makes clear in his series of speeches and sermons that make up this book we call Deuteronomy, it is still very much their story. This is still very much, Moses makes very clear, this is still who they are. And so they best remember who they are as they enter the promised land. And so Moses recounts the story of God's faithfulness and God's deliverance of them from Egypt. And Moses also includes all the ways that they gave in to those wilderness temptations. The ways they got scared and fearful, that they didn't really have security in the Lord, that power and security needs to be found elsewhere. And so that time, remember that time, they panicked and they made the golden calf to worship, giving themselves over to something so much less than the Lord just to try to have some control over their situation. Or those times they were hungry in the desert, and so they began to long for the food in Egypt, slave food though it was, but giving in to that temptation to believe that even that would have been better than relying on the daily bread from heaven that God was providing. And then Moses goes on and reminds them of the grumbling, the murmuring, the testing they kept putting to God. Seemingly no miracle of God could convince them to really believe that God was really and truly for them and with them and worthy of their trust. All of these things, in the midst of his exhortations, Moses retells to the people, saying, this isn't just the story of your mothers and fathers, but this is your story. This isn't just who they were. This is also who you are. This is how the story that you and me and all of us, this is how our story goes. And that's our story too, isn't it? I'm guessing most of us haven't been lost in a desert for 40 years or enslaved by a foreign government, though if you have, please tell me that story sometime. I'd love to hear it. But I know we've had our own wildernesses. I know you've had your own wilderness. Maybe it was the wilderness of anxiety or worry. About what specifically, it doesn't really matter, because whatever it is, it comes with its own temptations to find a bit of control by any means necessary, doesn't it? Or maybe it was the wilderness of feeling insignificant and all those temptations to have a show of power or to find significance in any place you can, regardless of who or what gets trampled or cast aside in the process. Or the wilderness of loneliness and that temptation to find belonging wherever you can, no matter what. Or the wilderness of regret and that temptation to do anything just to do anything to forget for a bit. At one time or another, we find ourselves wandering in the wilderness of one kind or another, don't we? This is a part of the story that Scripture tells. This is a part of the story God's very word tells about us, because this is a part of our story. And unlike those choose-your-own-adventure books, it's not so easy to just flip back a few pages and retell it, is it? But the good news, family, the good news is that this is the very story that Jesus steps into. Not just steps into, but right here, he is led purposefully, filled with the very Holy Spirit that is leading him. This is the very story he has come to enter into. The wilderness and all its temptations, our wilderness. And what happens when Jesus shows up? the rebukes, the answers to these very temptations that this story has been telling of generation after generation, the very scripture Jesus pulls from as he is in the wilderness, is from the telling of this very story. All of these scriptures that Jesus quotes, they come from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 8. They come from that part of the retelling of this, of the story by Moses. And specifically, they are reminders, they are the responses to the Israelites when they fell short, when they forgot who they were and what story they truly belonged to. In the wilderness, they struggled with trusting God to feed and provide for them. In the wilderness, they turned to idols, to other gods, when they wanted things they weren't sure they could trust the Lord to provide. And it was in the wilderness that they were found, so often testing and pushing back against the Lord's faithfulness and care for them. So do you see what's going on here at the beginning of Jesus' ministry? He goes into the wilderness. Jesus is entering into the story of his people. And he succeeds where they have fallen short. He succeeds in all those places where we, family, where we fall short. Jesus enters in on behalf of his people. He takes on this story and he retells it. He enters into our story and he offers in himself a different telling, a retelling. Even here at the outset of his ministry, Jesus proclaims that he has come to redeem our stories. Yours, mine, ours. Right? No longer choose your own adventure. No, Jesus is inviting us to choose to join him in his, to join him in this story of salvation and rescue, hope and redemption, faith and promise. From the outset, Jesus came and entered into our story so that we ultimately could enter into his. Jesus is here inviting us to join him in his retelling our story. And so one of the things that this means, that Jesus enters into our story so that we can enter into his, one of the things this means is that he offers us that same intimate relationship, that same filled and led by the Spirit relationship that he has. In fact, this is a big and broad theme of the gospel writer Luke. As you read through his gospel account, he's very keen to make that point that the work of Jesus is intimately connected to the work of the Spirit. And Luke didn't just stop with what we know of as the gospel according to Luke. Luke writes a second part, the Acts of the Apostles, what we often just call the book of Acts, there in the Bible. It's part two to his gospel account. It's the story of the early church. And as Luke goes on there, and what is clear when you read both Luke and Acts together, is that just as the Spirit was at work all through the life and work of Jesus, when you get to Acts, what you see is that it is the same Spirit that is empowering and at work all through the life and work of the early church, through the followers of Christ. And there's a whole lot there we could spend a whole lot of time unpacking. But for now, with this passage at the outset of Jesus' ministry, of Jesus tempted in the wilderness and knowing that we too face those wilderness temptations, we might note, for example, that Jesus resisted these temptations as he was full of and led and guided by the Spirit, drawing on the very Word of God. That our capacity to resist those temptations that come our way and to repent and turn from them and towards God and into this new, renewed story that God is calling us into, our capacity likewise comes from our relationship with God. A relationship nurtured by prayer, right? Remember back to Jesus' baptism. It was after he prayed that we get that Spirit-filled scene right there, right before he's led by the Spirit into this wilderness. And this relationship nurtured on who God actually is, as God's very self is revealed in and through and by God's Word. Right? Not just knowing verses as you might a list of random facts and figures. Even if you notice, even towards the end, the devil here in the wilderness with that third temptation seems to have that down. But by a discerning, Spirit-led engagement and growing understanding. A knowledge and understanding built on and growing from and out of the true story that God's Word is telling and inviting us into. That these sorts and types of temptations, to look for the things of life in the wrong places, to look for security and meaning and significance and maybe the easier but far more empty places, or to just be blinded to God's goodness and love because of whatever circumstance, as we all are from time to time, these sorts of temptations, like the early Israelites, to panic and give in to fear, to settle for what is quick and easy rather than what is good and true. Temptations like these, they are not easy. And certainly history bears out the fact that too often our own strength and initiative aren't always enough. And so our strength must come from the grace of God's deliverance. And the relationship that God has called us into, the assurance from last week of who we are in Jesus Christ and our relationship in and through Him, and ultimately our resting in and on the fact that Jesus has come to rewrite, to retell, to renew all those stories that have gone wrong or gotten off track. Not by magically erasing them and starting over, or by simply flipping back a few pages in the book, but by redeeming them and calling us into this very life in the Spirit. By taking it all into His life, by taking it all into His death, by taking it all into His resurrected life, so that even what has gone wrong becomes, in the end, in the final chapter, not just another story with an unhappy ending, but rather one more place where this story of love and grace and redemption and hope gets told. Because we are not left alone in the wilderness. Jesus has come and has entered in. And through Him, that same Spirit, that was there when the heaven opened at His baptism, that same Spirit that filled Jesus and led Him into the wilderness, that same Spirit that was at work in His life and His ministry, and that same Spirit, yes, that same Spirit that raised Him from the dead, that same Spirit is alive and at work in all who find their story taken up into Jesus' story. That is who you are. Because this is who Jesus is. And so whether your story has led you for a chapter or two into the wilderness, or for a chapter or two into a land flowing with milk and honey, whether it is a chapter of testing and temptation or a chapter of rest, may we be a people who lean on and who follow and who are led by this very Spirit, alive and at work. And may that be the story that our lives tell. Let's pray. Lord, for the gift of Your Spirit, alive and at work in all who call upon Your name, in all who hide their story in Yours. Lord, may that be who we are, a people who find our story in Yours, who find in our story a call to hide ourselves, to find ourselves in You. And so, Lord, through that Spirit, may we have the strength to turn to You to do what is right rather than what is easy, to follow where you lead us, even if it is for a time into the wilderness, knowing that you are with us, that you have gone before us, that you go with us through any wilderness, through any temptation. Lord, so that we may see not just who we are, but who you are, and we may find ourselves in you. Lord, that you came to retell, to redeem our stories, for that we give you thanks and praise this morning. Lord, may we be such a people as this. In Christ's name, amen.